Hello and welcome everybody to our very first episode of the podcast of the Bavarian State Brewery Wein Stefan, 1,000 years of beer. I'm Matthias Ebner, International Brand Ambassador and Brewery of the Wein Stefan Brewery, one of your hosts here for our podcast. And on my right is Anton.
Hello everyone. Yes, my name is Anton and I'm the online marketing manager of Wein Stefan. And today, on our very first podcast, we have a very special guest.
Absolutely. But before we are starting in the topic, I just want to remind you to subscribe our podcast channel for our podcast and maybe also have a look onto our trailer. We have also published recently and where Anton and me are introducing ourselves a little bit more. And now we're going to start directly into our first topic of our first podcast.
And this topic is something that some people might consider a little bit special for a brewery as a first topic. But nevertheless, we thought that it might be a pretty good topic to focus on in our first podcast.
Absolutely. 1,000 years of beer, 1,000 years of brewing here on the Wein Stefan Hill in Wein Stefan. But our first topic is actually our most recent topic we have here in the brewery, and that's non-alcoholic beers. One of the most upcoming topics right now in the brewery business worldwide, and also since many, many years, a very important product of our brewery. But also when it comes to research and science, it's a big field and a very interesting field. And for that, we have our first guest. It's Dr. Martina Gastel, PhD from the Institute for Brewing and Beverage Technology of Technical University Munich, from the Wein Stefan Brewing School. Here, directly our neighbor, about 100 meters away from the brewery. Martina has her office there and is now our first guest and expert for our first podcast episode. Welcome, Martina.
Thank you very much.
It's actually a great honor for me and for us that you took your time to be our first guest here today and talking about non-alcoholic beers. Sometimes a little bit controversial topic between beer drinkers, but I guess when it comes to brewers and beer scientists, it's maybe not controversial, or it's, I guess, a little bit more, very interesting, right?
I think for scientists, it's more or less a challenge to do research on this product, but I think a challenge with a high potential to get a really interesting product. I think it's really underestimated product, and I think the expectation from the customer maybe is often that's the same product like a real beer. So it's like a wrong product, but I think that's not right. So it's a special own thing, and I hope I can point out that's a really interesting product that offers more than just a copy of a real beer.
That pretty much leads us to the first question.
Actually, yes, but before we come to the first question, I have prepared here for our podcast today with you, Martina, is that actually you're not just a scientist in the field of beer, you're actually a brewer. So coming back to your CV, you were born in Bamberg, in Franconia, yes, northern Bavaria, so a real Bavarian girl.
Yes.
And then, like a real Bavarian girl, you learned the job as a brewer and maltster 2 years in the famous Andex Brewery. Yes. And after this, you come to Wein Stefan and studied, and graduated as engineer for brewing science, a master level degree graduation. And then you made your PhD. And since 2006, you're working as a postdoc here at the Brewing School at the Institute for Brewing and Beverage Technology as a scientist. When I studied here in Wein Stefan, I had a few tests with you, but they were all good. So you never sent me home with a bad feeling. So yeah. Our relationship is still good. No hurt
so
feelings from my side.
So that's the reason why I'm invited here.
Maybe. But yeah, one of your science fields is non-alcoholic beers, but also yes. Brewing barley was also a big topic the last years in your research topics. So yeah, a wide field you have already worked in more than 20 years of being in the brewing business, as a brewer, as an engineer, as a PhD in this field, and as a more than 20 professional years in the business of brewing, as a brewer, as an engineer, as a scientist. You ever thought that this topic of non-alcoholic beers is so big like it is today?
Yes, I think it's an interesting question, and it's really hard to answer, because you can expect, if you look to the future, that it comes up a very interesting product, because I think the mindset of the customers is completely different, and it's changing in the last 10 or 20 years. And we see that not only on the product beer, so many other products, or our way of thinking, our economic direction, all the things, they play a role in this combination, how we see beer in the market. And I think the customers, they want to have nature products, they want a product where they know what are the ingredients, they want pure products. And so in general, all these topics are very, they are covered by beer, by the product beer.
Especially when you brew it according to the Bavarian purity law.
Yes.
So then you have just four basic ingredients. And
yes, and I think it's a natural-based product. So, and I think maybe for some customers, really the alcohol is a problem. So I think they become more and more interested in alcohol-free beers. So I think that's one way. And the other way is that maybe some other customers, they think it's a malt-based beverage. It's has nothing to do with beer, but it's very tasty. And I think they become more and more tasty in the last years. And so, and from this point of view, I think we can expect that's a growing market in future.
Yeah, I guess Anton, you as a soccer player, as a amateur or hobby soccer player. Yeah, guys like you are pretty open-minded to beer, but also open-minded
you
to
non-alcoholic
beers.
You can put it this way. Yeah. Well, non-alcoholic beers as an amateur soccer player. who are we kidding? In amateur sports, you obviously drink beer, and most of the time. You probably drink more beer than you actually practice the sport. So but yeah, I see a lot of people tending towards non-alcoholic beers just as an alternative after sports, directly after sports. So the usual Hefeweizbier drinker, for example, leans towards non-alcoholic Hefeweizbier now. And it's not only due to the beers being isotonic, but just because it's refreshing and it doesn't have alcohol and you still can drive afterwards. And, you know, when people say that alcohol after sports gets right into your brain, it kind of is true, and it feels like that. So yeah, I can see a kind of change of paradigm there.
I see it too, because what you said, that people who would not drink alcohol would not drink beer, but now they are coming to a product that comes out of a brewery and it's basically beer but non-alcoholic. Even in my family, my aunt doesn't drink any alcohol anymore, yes. and she's totally into non-alcoholic beers, especially our non-alcoholic Hefeweizbier. And my mom too, so she actually now drinks more non-alcoholic beer than she drinks alcoholic beer. But I guess that's the thing. But is it still a problem, Martina, that people have in their head, like you said it before, that non-alcoholic beer must complement alcoholic beer, so it must taste the same or as close to it?
Yes, I think that's the main problem, and I think that's maybe also the problem in research. I think long time we tried to copy the real beer, yes. So we expected the same taste, the same aroma, so like a copy from the original one. But I think that's maybe the challenge for us, that we train a little bit the customer. It's not necessary that it tastes exactly like the original beer. It's more or less a product at its own, and it tastes very well. It tastes refreshing. It has no alcohol. It has less calories. So I think that's also very important, and nobody knows that. So if you compare it to other soft drinks or apple juice or whatever, it's really a alcohol-reduced drink. I think if the customer realized that more and more, and the people realized that more and more, so it becomes more and more interesting.
I mean, we've watched the market for non-alcoholic beers grow over the last few years. When do you think was the exact change in mind by people? You said before that people are now are more aware of their health and are more aware of ingredients. And this hasn't been the case 10 years ago.
Yeah, let's date it back to a special date, 1994.
Yes.
Werner Back, Professor Werner Back, the head of the institute before Professor Becker became leader of the institute. He, when he became the professor of the Institute for Brewing, where you were working, and he's your PhD father, right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
And when Werner Back came to the institute, he brought the first de-alcoholization plant to Weihenstephan and installed it here in our brewery. So when we see it here in Weihenstephan, this as the starting point or the one of the starting points of doing research or more and more non-alcoholic beers in the market, where was it in that timeline where you think that the big change from we have just a non-alcoholic beer for drivers who need to drive with the car to become more and more a lifestyle beverage?
I think it grew up in this time where Werner Back started here, because so he had the view for this future topic, alcohol-free beer. So this was the reason why he invested in this de-alcoholization plant. I think from the original mindset, it started in the early 70s. So there were come up the first alcohol-free beers, but more or less they were really driver beers. So it was not their own beverage. It was, I think it was
emergency beverage.
Maybe like an emergency beverage for the people who have no other chance to drink, or they don't want to drink something sweet, because what is the alternative? Maybe it was water, but you have not real alternative drink to soft drinks or to juice. And so I think there comes up the alcohol-free beer. And over the years, by the research programs and also by the breweries, which are invested a lot in the alcohol-free beverage research, they start to develop more and more interesting and tasty products. I think that's the point. So we come up with tasty products from the brewery where the customer said, yes, oh, it's interesting and it's really tasty, has a benefit, and it's not an emergency product. It's really an alternative.
A conscious choice.
Yes, it's my choice to drink that product. And I think that comes up in the last 20, maybe 30 years. And I think now that's our challenge to go more in this way of thinking, and really to bring the customer to a really new product.
I thought also that I guess in the last 10 years also the whole social behavior of a little bit more, you know, hashtag healthy living and whatever fitness lifestyle or whatever also gave, there is was a society move that, you know, a little bit more healthy living and maybe less alcohol. And
I think that's really, really important. So the change in the mind of the society, that we really want to have this clean label products, that we have this pure product. So we want to know which ingredients are inside my product. So we have this lifestyle and we have this health healthness thinking. And I think that's a benefit for a product like alcohol-free beer, of course.
Yeah, and when it comes to Bavarian beer, you know, it's based on the purity law. There are four ingredients. And yeah, that's basically it. And so also non-alcoholic beers. Let's stick to the purity law.
Yes.
Or I guess we need to go one step back before I came to that question. I must write it down. The thing is, which technologies do we have in our toolbox of making non-alcoholic beers? Because my question I had now in my head was a little bit too further, I guess, for the listeners. I guess we need to first talk about which technologies do we have in our technology or toolbox to make those beers. Because I know it and you know it, and that there are a few ways of making non-alcoholic beers, and they all have their pros and cons. And
I know it.
Even I know it. Okay, we three know it, but maybe not all our listeners. So we do have there basically two ways, a physical and a biological way, right?
Yes, that's right.
And so can you, just in a few easy sentences, try to explain the two type of ways and how it inflects on the taste of non-alcoholic beers?
Okay, yes, of course. So I think that's in general, right? So we have this biological way and we have this physical way to produce alcohol-free beers. The more traditional way, or it's not more easier, but from the handling in smaller breweries, for example, it's easier to produce by the biological way. So we use microorganisms like special yeast to produce alcohol-free beer. And normally we do it in that way that we stop the fermentation. So we stop the fermentation in the beer before the yeast starts to produce the alcohol. So we can here stop it, or we can also use special yeasts, which ferment just a special type of polysaccharide. So we have not so much alcohol inside, but they are more sweet. And that's often it's the challenge really for this way of producing alcohol-free beers. By the biological production, we have mostly a lot of body in the beer, so they are really full beers, and they sometimes dominated by sweetness.
So, because there is so much malt sugar still inside the product that never got fermented.
Yes.
So that we have a yeast that is not able to take those sugars to alcohol.
Yes. So that's
or we are just say, stop, yeast, don't ferment it anymore.
That's right, complete right.
And that's why there are so many sugars left inside this product then, right?
Yes, that's right. And so at the end, so we have a fine product, but it's dominated by the sweetness. So that's, and so, but some customers like this product because it's a full body product, so we have a very soft mouth feel, and so
a good palate.
It's a good palatefulness,
yeah. But some of the typical beer aromas then never got produced, because a lot of those iconic beer aromas we have in some kind of beers, like in a pale ale or in a wheat beer, they are actually produced by
the fermentation. So and that's more or less the negative side of this way of production. So we have not the typical fermentation producing a beer aroma like substances, and so it's a little bit sweet, a little bit wordy, and sometimes maybe you can think it's like at the beginning, so it's not really.
It's a step before it becomes a real beer. So
yes.
It tastes like that a little bit. Okay.
Yes. So I think that's maybe the problem. But I think there are some customers who like the sweet aroma, this palatefulness. And so we can do a lot of other things with this biological base. I think we have a lot of yeast types where we can produce interesting beers and never forget the hops. So on the other hand, we can really do a lot with our hop aroma to bring it to a good beer taste and aroma.
Is it maybe also easier to switch from a soft drink, from juice, to a biological non-alcoholic beer because it's sweeter?
Yes, when you come from the sweet side, maybe you're more interested in these products, but you can do them really, or you can bring them to a hoppy aroma, for example, by with the hops, and then you can a little bit cover this really sweet impression. And so,
it would make sense when it comes to non-alcoholic lager beers, right?
Yes,
because there the hop is a little bit more present in the
yes, and then you get the typical beer style. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That then it's also interesting and it goes to the beer-like aroma. Mm-hmm. But it's hoppy dominated.
Okay. But you don't need any special equipment for that, right? So, actually that kind of way?
Yeah, that's the benefit. And so it's often done by small breweries or breweries who want to invest in special equipment. And so they can work with this biological way of non-alcoholic beer
production. They just need their standard or their brew house their fermentation cellar, their maturation cellar. So no special tanks, no special brew house equipment is needed for that.
Maybe you need some special equipment for the yeast if you use a special yeast, but it's not necessary. If you want, you can do it also by stopping the fermentation.
But on the other thing, what I'm just thinking is product safety is a little bit more issue because there are a lot of sugars still in there,
really,
right?
That's really right. So that's a problem because you have a lot of sugars inside, so you have to find a way to make it really safe.
And no alcohol anymore that is conserving the product, right?
Yes, so that's with that's a benefit for the hop, for example.
Yeah, okay.
So
it's
also preservative, so you can use the hop.
And complement it a little bit with that. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But... It's maybe not a product if you have no preservation in another way
that you really bring it
over the world.
Yeah. And just for our listeners who don't know the technical side of it, how do you stop a fermentation?
So normally you cool it down. So if you cool it down, then you can stop the fermentation. So up to 0 degrees. Then the yeast stops working.
Yeah, okay.
The yeast stops working.
Yeah. It's a little bit like sometimes, so when you're like playing soccer, and then you're like, oh, I don't want anymore because it's too cold, You would just want to sit outside on the bench and drink a beer.
Yeah, but then again, it leads me to beer, so that's...
I call it free beer.
Okay, this is the biological way?
Yeah, that's the biological way, and the other one is the physical way. So then, in general, we have more or less... two ways, so it's the thermal way and the membrane-based way. So the first way, the thermal way, is you have a final beer, so a complete produced beer, and then you bring the alcohol out by evaporation or by rectification. So these are the two possible ways you can use here. So you asked me for the taste, so maybe there is a little bit to the challenge that you have not a thermal influenced product. So thermal influence, that means that you have a product that has a loss in aroma. So it's sometimes the it's a little bit... Maybe
a lot of beer aromas are very temperature sensitive.
Yes, and the temperature sensitivity also leads sometimes to pretty notes or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we call it normal the thermal influence, but I think for the normal guy, it's more or less like a pretty impression.
Comes bread and stuff like that, and a little bit grainy.
Yes.
Okay. But the positive thing is that at the end we are using a complete final beer. So actually, a brewery who's producing it that way basically does not anything different till the product is finished than with any other beer.
You can, in general, you can use your normal produced beer and you can de-alcoholize it, you should be careful with this. So there are two things in general. If you don't use the biological way, if you use the physical way, you have to invest in equipment. So that's fixed. You have to do it. But if you have
extra tanks, a de-alcoholization plan, and stuff like that.
Yes, de-alcoholization plan. So it's necessary to invest here. Mm. And then you have more or less to decide how much beer you want to produce. So for the thermal way, normally the equipment, you can produce more amount of alcohol-free beer in shorter time. So that's a little bit the benefit from the thermal way of production if you compare it to the membrane way. On the other hand, maybe to come back to the membrane way, because we just talk about thermal, by the membrane way, you have also a final product, and then you have a kind of reverse osmosis, and then you specifically bring out the alcohol. And so that's maybe more or less the benefit, that you have the beer aroma still inside by this method. But there are also ways to bring it back in the thermal way. So there's not a bad or a bad way or a better way to produce.
Philosophies.
Yeah, it's a philosophy, and it depends a lot on the final beer product. So if you have a product that's very rich in aroma and you use special equipment, biothermal dealcoholization, where you can bring back beer aroma again, then of course you can here produce also a very good beer, like non-alcoholic beer.
So if you do it the physical way, does that mean after you have your normal beer produced, you just dealcoholize it? Does that mean that is 0.0 after that?
Yeah, that's a little bit a problem if you want to go to 0.0, especially with the thermal way. So you have a very intensive treatment. And that means more intensive the treatment, more aromas you get out. So you can produce 0.0, but then the end effect is that you lose a lot of beer aromas.
So the 0.0 beers only can be produced by physical methods, right? Or also by biological?
Yes. So we can't really produce. So there are yeasts who absolutely no produce alcohol, so we can produce that. But normally we use the stop fermentation. So if you have an alcohol-generating yeast, then it's not possible to really to produce 0.0.
So basically most 0.0 beers are based on a physical way.
It's based on a physical way,
Okay. So there we have, to summarize it, a biological or a physical way. The biological way is special yeast or stop fermentation. And there we have the thing that we have a very full beer, a sweet beer, and but some of the beer aromas never got produced. And on the other hand, with the physical way, we have full and fermented and matured beers. So we have the full beer aroma, but through the dealcoholization, thermal or on membrane side, we lose some of those aromas and the intensity of it.
Yeah, and we should not forget the ethanol itself, because ethanol, the alcohol itself, it's also a substance who influence a high palatefulness, a good mouthfeel in a product. So it's not just by beer, it's by all products. So it's a little bit like fat. So the more fat is inside, the more it's
the more tasty. That's why I love the Vito so much.
And I think it's similar to the alcohol.
Okay.
So if you reduce the alcohol level or you completely bring it out, then you lose a palatefulness introducing substance. And so that's on the other hand, often the challenge by membrane beers. So there comes up more a sour note in the beer because you lose this covering mouthfeel substance.
This was the first part. Thank you for listening. The second part is already online. Have fun with it.